Yes, I am pinch hitting for Janine today, and in that spirit, I come bearing good news. And that news is that pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Florida and Arizona this week. With baseball on my mind, I think back to an interview with former Colorado Rockies manager Clint Hurdle after his team won four straight games in the 2007 National League Championship Series. When asked about his team's stunning run of success, he said, "In this business, there are two types of people, those who are humble and those who are about to be." Fittingly, Hurdle and the Rockies, who entered the World Series having won 21 of their previous 22 games, were swept by the Red Sox 4-0. And then I looked at today's scripture reading from Luke. I feel like Christ basically says the same thing about the kingdom of God, and yet it seems apparent that we are not listening. Last weekend, the Super Bowl netted its usual huge TV ratings. It's estimated that about 100 million viewers in the United States alone watched the Chiefs defeat the 49ers. And yet, consider how the television cameras rarely show the offensive lineman who blocked for the play trudging off the field after the touchdown pass, nor do they often show the coordinator who designed or selected the play. They normally will show the wide receiver or the quarterback, especially if one of them is going to do a choreographed touchdown dance. This is not a society that lauds the accomplishments of offensive linemen, character actors, or any of the other little people that are often the source of success. Watch television and read the newspapers enough, and you'll find evidence that we live in a society that views humility as weakness, that believes serving your neighbor makes you subservient to your neighbor. From my relatively limited experiences with Christian culture, it seems as if we still have more people praying the prayer of the Pharisee in this text. "Oh, thank you, God, for not making me like them, sick or poor or wrong," instead of saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner who is spiritually sick, poor, and spiritually wrong." It is much more fun to find fault in others than examining the things that are wrong within ourselves, which is a viewpoint shared by that Pharisee. Let's start off with the first verse. Luke establishes Christ's target audience from the beginning. Some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Let's not forget that Christ didn't just eat with sinners and tax collectors, but that he targeted his message to everyone, including the people whose theologies didn't quite square with his. In fact, that term, Pharisee, has gotten quite a bad rap over the years. Pharisees did all that was asked of them by the law and then some. But here's where the issue comes in. Relentless pride and aggressive self-promotion. The Bible never says it's bad to be righteous, and for the most part, the Pharisees were. The Bible repeatedly says that it's bad to be self-righteous. That Pharisee's prayer in the scripture reads like a sort of press release to God. "I fast twice a week, I tithe, and I am vastly superior to those around me." In fact, it sounds about as sincere as that old country song by Mac Davis, "Lord, it's hard to be humble. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." That tax collector, though, he's certainly far from righteous. At least the tax collector was humble enough to admit his fault and ask forgiveness. He was so humble, in fact, that the text says he would not even dare to look up to heaven, much less send a press release. The theologian John Dominic Crossan tries to translate the situation into the present for us by describing it as if a pope and a pimp went into St. Peter's Cathedral to pray. Surely we wouldn't view the pope as a villain or the pimp as a saint, but if he shows contrition, that pimp is just as worthy of grace in God's eyes. Status is not what God cares about when God hears our prayers. It's all about attitude. God knows our strengths without us having to say so. God knows our weaknesses too. This Pharisee remembers that God knows all the good things he's done and chooses to underline them for the purpose of emphasis, as if repeating it will make it stick. On the flip side, the tax collector remembers God knows all the bad things that he's done and asks for mercy, underlining that for emphasis because, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 65, when deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. I'd rather go through life with untrumpeted accomplishments and forgiven sins than trumpeted accomplishments and unforgiven sins, wouldn't you? A while ago, I told my campus pastor from college that I'd been invited to preach and that I'd settled on humility as a topic. He then said, "Oh, that means we should never admit we're Christians or do anything that might make other people mad, right?" I don't think that being a pushover is what God requires of us. To go through life with a self-hating outlook contradicts yours and my birthrights as children of God. Dad always told me whenever I was feeling down that God didn't make no junk. And there's a big difference between being humble and feeling worthless. Throughout the ages, God has provided humble servants and teachers who have demonstrated, sometimes with the loss of their lives, that serving God is not supposed to be glamorous or earn you earthly fame. In fact, sometimes God has elevated people who felt like they were worthless to do some of the best work. They may not have been well publicized or rich or strong or from the right social class, but we know them thousands of years later, not because they were good at public relations or promotions, but because they allowed God to work through them. Because they put away what they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. We don't know the names of many of the generals or artisans or even most of the kings from ancient Israel, but we do know about prophets and apostles and Christ. Humble service for God has much more staying power than working for our own fame and status. Jesus says it is that tax collector that went home from the temple justified by God. Why is that? I mean, the Pharisee has clearly done all that was required of him spiritually, and the tax collector is just admitting the fact that he's a big screw-up. I think it's all in the attitude. The Pharisee recognizes he is blessed by God, but then uses that blessing to stick it to others. "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even this tax collector." God doesn't give us blessings to make people who don't have the same ones feel bad. God gives us blessings that we might use them to glorify God and to build God's kingdom. And that whole prayer of the Pharisee seems rather casual and impersonal, kind of like a checklist. The tax collector, though, recognizes he has done wrong and is in need of grace. He comes to the Creator with an attitude of humility and contrition. In the preparation process, I found a great question that I'd like you to consider for a few moments. When we approach this place of worship, when we listen to a sermon, when we pray the printed prayers, do we appropriate any of those lessons to be learned for ourselves, or do we immediately apply them to everybody else? Several times in the process of writing this, I thought to myself, who in the heck am I to be telling other people to be humble? It has not traditionally been my strong suit. But to disqualify myself on the basis of what I think my spiritual gifts may or may not be would be rejecting what God has asked me to do today. And I don't feel like I have the status to make that decision. And so here I am. Digging into 2 Timothy, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering." This is chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. "And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." What God requires is to commit ourselves fully to God's purpose and to do so without any desire to gain from it. In that lesson, Paul says he is being poured out as a libation, as a drink offering. God is emptying him out. Humility is being proud of who you are and secure enough in yourself to allow yourself to be poured out for God and to get none of the credit. It is being equally comfortable with, as John Wesley put it, being employed for thee or being laid aside for thee. When was the last time you poured yourself out for God, either in church or even better, in the world? If one of society's undesirables showed up here praying the way that tax collector was, beating his or her chest, how many of us, at least in our mind, would wonder why someone was carrying on like that in church? Probably because that sort of public display is not something our contemporary society finds tasteful. But admitting that you are flawed and that you are in need of grace and forgiveness isn't great for one's image. But it all comes back to humility. As soon as we get over ourselves and get into God's grace, we start living the way God intended. Christ finishes this parable with a reason why we must remember to humble ourselves and exalt the kingdom. All who humble themselves will be exalted by God, and all those who exalt themselves on the earth will be humbled. It is a theme Christ repeats over and over throughout the Gospels. And it is our responsibility to pour ourselves out each day for God. To do anything less constitutes a rejection of the awesome gifts that God has given us. So, we can choose to be a people who live humbly in the eyes of God, or we can live for ourselves and wait for God to humble us when God chooses. I'd rather serve God humbly now and save the glory for later. Thanks be to God. Amen.